put one here?
Yeah. You need one in both places.
I need one in both places. Well, what are you going to get up now?
Sit down, Rick. Sit down, so I can sit down a minute.
What? Didn't you sit down without me sitting?
Well, I won't. Sit down right there.
Here's a good chair right here.
Sit down right there.
No,
hey, get him the chair.
I sit right here. This is fun. You don't mind me laying in back here and being a coat?
No.
If you need a toilet up here too, you need one here too. What I was thinking about was maybe that tank could fit this one, or this tank could fit that one up there. Different bolt holes in it.
Well, are you gonna get me a one that's a little silent, more silent than the one up there? I tell you, I'm so tired of having to have one that you jiggle and listen all over the house.
Yeah,
I don't want the most expensive, but I sure don't want the cheapest.
No.
Is your silent over at your house?
Huh?
You have a silent one.
Yeah, I got one pretty silent. It's too bad. I don't ever pay attention to it.
I came over this morning to tell you that if you had some time in town, that I'd run up there with you, you know, to do it. Because Suzanne won't be there until Monday. I wanted to do it at your convenience.
I can do it better Monday afternoon over at her house, but I'll put you on in here out here this afternoon.
You will?
Mm-hmm.
See, this is worth waiting for, guys.
I'll run down and get you one. Make it pretty silent.
Put a little tune on it of some sort.
Give her a little something to sing about.
Yeah.
Sweet
Vine Mary.
You know the thing keeps running. You have to go back and
jiggle it. Yeah, jiggle it all the time. Yeah. She hasn't been jiggling.
If my water bill's real expensive, I don't know why.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Mary Rosen. Well, you look like you're taking it easy today.
I'm not.
Huh?
I've been pressing miserable all day.
What's the matter?
I don't know. Just unhappy.
Join the crowd.
This morning I finally got out there and put out and sprayed some weeds. You know, the dog fennel. You wouldn't think the dog fennel would take a fellow, would you?
I don't know nothing about them dog fennels.
Well, sir, I started out thinking they're beautiful things. You know, they go right straight up and they're plump, aromatic, you know, you just go along there and smell them. And you didn't have to cultivate them. But they started spreading. And you see, it slipped up on me. Every pasture, there's great patches of dog fennel. And you see, it's just like some of these other plants, like pokeberry.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Oh, a lot of things. This year, they got a pretty good root. Next year, they'll come back on the same root, but it'll be bigger.
Mm.
And banana trees, that's the way they do.
Yeah.
Well, you can mow these pokeberries now and they pretty well stay down. But these dog fennels won't.
They won't do that, huh?
No. They come right back.
Well, how do you get rid of them?
Well, sir, the only poison that I use is the one that's really not poison, you know. It's that 2,4-D that makes them grow too fast. That's what I use. And I just put a cup of that in a drum of water. And I got a little power takeoff spray. It's the one I use for that magic soap I got from Johnny.
That's right, Johnny did bring that to
you. Yeah.
You're Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
And put that in a drum. And then you can spray the walls, the windows, and that stuff will clean it.
Yeah, it's the best cleaner I've ever seen. And he quit making it.
Oh, really?
Competition, he said he got too keen. Oh, he just quit. He didn't really.
he just don't take time to do it. That's the best cleaner on the market. But I think I'm going to make me about 50 gallons of it. And I'll bring you something out there.
I still got some.
I'll sell it.
I don't use what I got.
You already used it?
No. Mm-hmm. I don't use it. Don't you? You can look at the porch and tell. I haven't used it.
No, there's several people want it in Gainesville. I know of, so I'm thinking about making me up about 55, 60 gallons of it. That's what you make it in, about 55, 60 gallons at a time.
Yeah.
In other words, you got a 55-gallon drum, you get 60 gallons out of a 55-gallon drum. Now, that's hard to do, but that's what he can do.
Yeah.
No, he got down to the end, see what it had settled down, what he hadn't mixed up real good. It settled down, so he just added some more water. I've got 5 more gallons out of him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, it worked with a
it works all right.
Yeah.
Put a little blue color and a cake color in it, you think you got something in there. See, if white, it don't look too good. But,
no, it ought to be colored.
Yeah. Well, it takes it about a dime bottle of cake color, and you can color 100 gallons of it.
Sure.
I didn't realize Johnny made that.
Johnny didn't. Lou made it.
Oh, really?
But he made it. It cost him 25 cents a gallon.
Oh.
With the bop and the ladle and the water. Your water bill runs about a month and a half. That's the biggest yet in the world, that chemical thing. You know.
Well, there's 2,4-D. They got so they charged me $4 a gallon for that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd think it'd be high at a dollar.
You would. It is.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, that stuff he makes in there costs, was that bottle that he put out, the label he put on it? And the chemical, everything, and the bottle costs more than the stuff we put in.
Yeah.
I think 40 cents when he bought plastic jugs, it cost him 40 cents a gallon and put up.
Yeah.
He only got $5.85 for it a gallon.
Yeah.
He got to have his profit on that 85 cents. That's his profit right there. Double what it cost, didn't he?
Yeah.
The rest of us is money.
Yeah.
Well, he sold 35,000 dollars worth of it to the Navy, this clean aircraft carrier, you know, where these tires hit the tracks, you know, and them aircraft I don't think they ever found to take it off with. They put in these commercial scrubbers just like you know, go along with it and it mixes with seawater and anything else, see. You just take that tire marks off that aircraft carrier, I don't think they ever found. And he made $24,000 six weeks. That's the truth.
It mixes with seawater or anything.
Anything, see, any kind of water. And wow. Put it out on that deck, wash it off, and you get through it, scrub it, and takes it right out. It's as slick as it was that they had put out there. And that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
They didn't buy no more, they just analyzed it and make their own.
They had a pretty good price for the formula, wasn't it?
It was a pretty darn good price for it. I tell you, last he sold it in Jacksonville too. He sold it for me in Jacksonville, and guy didn't put it out under his label. He puts it out, but not under his label. So he was a 2x4 bench about this wide. Well, it's made out of 2x6s on just about like this on the table. Was made out of 2x6s, so to hold that drum up there.
Yeah.
Had this electric motor and 255-gallon drum, 2 motors, and just like a made it like it looked like an outboard motor. Put them 2 drums, sold him the formula, and that racket went with it, $13,000. That's the truth.
Wow,
that's the truth. Sold it to him for $13,000. Now, that ain't no joke, that's true. I guarantee you, he wouldn't make any more than Florida for 5 years. That's the only thing he gave him.
Yeah.
So he moved to South Carolina, and made a while, and then he moved to Houston, Texas. He's out there now.
Hey, out there, he can make all
the
water. Nobody said
anything. Nobody said anything. He just told me he wouldn't make it in Florida for 5 years.
Yeah.
In 5 years, just about it.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. He got half horse motors with a shaft on it with a propeller. This looks like a kicker motor. Yeah. Propeller, that's what he made of it. 255-gallon drums with a faucet on it, left the Billy Joe's with it.
Yeah.
And that rack and that farmer for $13,000. Now that's a cotton picking dream.
Yeah.
Well, he was making, just without doing much work, $35,000 a year out of it, so he wasn't doing too bad.
Yeah.
Heck, he'd go down, why not get the 13 though right quick, go up South Carolina or same place else he wanted to, make the same thing.
Well, as those things go, Howard, you, that wasn't a bad deal.
Really wasn't.
I mean, people are willing to do that.
Yeah, sir. That's what a preacher bought from old Jackville. That's no joke.
Oh, it's a preacher.
Yeah, preacher bought it. Now he's stealing.
Preachers, these days,
got to
make a living some other way, haven't
they? Yeah, they are. That's right. They don't get enough church people anymore. But he's putting it in Jacksonville. He told it to him. That's the truth. But there's a big, you talking about weed killers. I tell you why to kill weeds, because then they just bluestone. That's all you need, a little can of lime. You can kill all the weeds you want to kill.
Well, the only trouble, Howard, I want to kill some and let's leave some. So you see, the dog fence is out there in the pasture, and this stuff don't harm the pasture. Now, and there's too much of it just to give an individual dose. But you could.
This other stuff just makes it grow fast. Is that what it does?
That's what they say. And it won't do well unless it's hot weather and the sun is shining.
Mm-hmm.
And the metabolism is right at a peak. And then in a couple hours, all the exposure you need, then you can have a flood and it won't make any difference.
Hmm.
And you ought to see that dog fence. It just died all the way down.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be dead. It'll come back.
And it'll nod in 30 minutes.
Hmm.
2-4-D. That's what they use on these water hyacinths.
Hmm.
But
I'm gonna look up that form and see what that stuff's made out of.
Well, yes, that's right.
Do that. It wouldn't take too much to do that. We got the chemical book down and look it up, I think.
Well, I'll give you the bucket. You can take a bucket.
Oh, it ain't lasted. I just want to look it up and see what it is.
Well, it'll have a name on it. Oh, you mean the 2,4-D? It'll have that.
Yeah, let's see what 2,4-D stands for.
Yeah.
Because you can buy the raw chemical, or you can make it for nothing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
I'll have to look and see what it is. It's not too hard to look up.
Yeah, that's, well now, you all have to get into the chemical business every now and then, don't you?
Well, I'm going to start putting out something for killing roots and sewers.
Yeah.
And I think I can do that and make a pretty good living just on that.
Some of the roots we have up there in town in the kitchen thing.
Mm.
Well now, once you get the hang of it, you can do it. You don't have to dig it all up.
Right. Well, that's what the state sprays with the same stuff I'm going to use to kill roots and sewers. You know, these like your lakes and things like that. They spray it with the same chemical and does the same thing to the. On a lake, and it'll do the same thing in your sewer pipe. You just gotta use it right there. You can't guarantee if they won't use it.
Oh, you can't use it once and let it go.
No, you gotta, until you get them died down, you got to use pretty regular, and then you want to keep it up, because it'll grow back in there. You're not going too far outside the sewer pipes.
Oh, yeah.
You have a lot of trouble with that?
Oh, Lord, yeah, there's lots of roots.
Oh, yeah.
They're everywhere. But you can kill them things out of there if you just use enough of it. I know the old boy that told me about it, just a maid was having somewhere every 3 months to get the roots out of her shoreline, and I told her what he said, and she hadn't called us in 6 years, so I guess she done a pretty good job.
Yeah. Well, you remember when we took these little tiles up out there, those roots, I don't know what sort they were, but they were just matted.
Huh?
That was that old elephant ear root.
Mm.
Yeah.
Trees, these roots go from, you'd be surprised. I saw them stop up and a tree wouldn't be in 100 feet of them. Especially pine trees.
Oh, really?
You'd be surprised how much they do grow in those things.
Yeah.
And you take a mechanical device and cut them out, it's just like getting your hair cut.
Yeah. But it's hard to get to, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You don't get them all. You can't unless you got something real sharp to shave them with. You get that, you can't put anything real sharp through there. And there's roots and pipe, and you get something metal or rock, it's just like it'll dull anything you put in there. So what are you going to do?
What you going to do?
You can't possibly get them all.
And you don't want to dig it up every time.
Yes, best way to take it out and change it, but a lot of people can't afford it, especially on some old houses up there. Well, like one like this, for instance, where they didn't use any cast iron pipe at all, it's all terracotta, and hey, you might run 100 foot out of the house. You go to chain that, you got yourself a job.
And them roots run on the houses.
Yeah, sure, run on the house as well as any place else. Any place they can get water, they're going.
Yeah.
If it breaks through, then you can't stop it, that's for sure. Unless you kill it back.
Yeah.
But I think I'll put that stuff on the market. I think I can. I'm not going to charge what he charges for it, but I'm going to charge like enough to get my money back out of it.
Well, you get your nerve up as you go along.
Well, that might be true too.
I price this 2,4-D. They get it in 5 gallon cans. I saw one out here on the truck. They're delivering, and I called up about that. You get it in 5 gallons, and they charge you, they give you 10 fifths or 5 cents off.
Yeah, well, that means they would. He could give you a dollar, it wouldn't hurt anything.
Yeah, at that rate, you know, you might not use it anymore. So then you'd be stuck with all that stuff. Johnny was one of the best at these things, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could think up all sorts of things.
He just got them from Lou, though. He didn't get them from Johnny. Not on that chemical business.
Yeah.
What he's selling now mostly is battery rejuvenators, you know. What a battery does, it sulfates, or that stuff gets on there and kills those plates. If you keep your battery clean, you never have any trouble with it. And he's put out a chemical. He had it run through a laboratory and test it, and he can guarantee a battery if you put it in when it's brand new, like last car.
Oh.
These lifetime guaranteed batteries got the same thing in them, actually. See, it isn't what the battery's made out of, it's how what the reaction chemical is in it and does it. I put an old battery out there in my Chevrolet, and it was just an old battery with been sitting out there in the yard. We put this stuff in it, run down to Old Kellen back, and I run the battery for a year, been sitting out there in the yard for 6 months. I thought it wasn't any good.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
What's the matter with you, Elizabeth?
She brought some things up for me to see.
Oh. I thought you were going to ask me.
You know, that's what happens when you're so ignorant, Howard. You just go ahead and pay the price, and if your battery runs down, you cuss a little bit and go ahead and get another. You don't use your head, do you?
No, really.
I don't.
Uh-uh. Well, you just don't. People just take everything for granted, and that's it.
So that's the way some get rich and some just stay poor.
I really am going to put that chemical after those sewers. I mean that, because I could sell at least $100 a week of it. It's on the side, nothing, you know.
And give them a little demonstration how to use it.
Yeah, well, I put out that point first in your plane. And I know that a lot of people, especially widow women and poor people up there in Gainesville, they got the sewer problems all the time. It costs $15 to go out there, or $18 to go out there and clear that pipe up. And if they can save that, well, why not put it in their pocket? They'd rather pay $5 or $6 for a piece of some chemicals to go in it rather than pay that every 3 months to have it cleaned up. Because
yeah.
The university set up a test on those weeds growing, and you cut them out and they start growing back in 3 days. That's a fact. The university set that test up out there in 3 weeks.
Is that right?
Now, of course, if it's gone so long that a root gets in there as big as your arm, you're not going to do much for that. But
yeah.
The first time it stops up or something like that, well, then you can start killing.
Yeah. Well, now this fellow over here on Warburg, Bob Lee, he had a big family, you know, and had all these septic tanks or drain fields, what do you call them? And he was always digging that thing up.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he done it, he lost his disposition.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, all it was weeds, roots.
Roots. Mm-hmm. Just get your choke it completely down.
Yeah.
Well, you can put that stuff in the back of a, you know, most septic tanks have a distributing box out the back of them where that water. Well, it's a little box about that big around where your pipe stick into it, go out each side of your drain field. See, it makes a Y or sort of branch off. You can open that up and pour this stuff right in there and it'll kill every root in all along both lines. See,
now say that again.
Well, let me show you right quick here on this piece of paper. Yeah, I think I got one. See, here's your septic tank. Sits out here. Most of them are like this. It comes out. Well, when it comes out of the back of the pipe, it's got a box out here, about just a little box. They say this is 18 by 18, is usually what they are, something about like that's inches. And the drain field goes this way, and this way. This has this septic tank here. Is it coming from the house? Well, it ties into this pipe, and it goes into this drain box and goes out your drain filter here and here and here.
Yeah.
You can dig that and put this stuff right in here and let it just branch out and cipher through those fields, and it'll clean all those roots out of them.
Just get this little, find out that where that box is, little concrete box.
Yeah, that's the way modern, or you can dig it and put it right in the line on the outside, on the drain part of the tank, see? Yeah, where it drains. See, from this is a drain on this end. This is the inlet.
Yeah.
And then you just
Need it in your tank.
No, you don't want it in a tank because it might kill that bacteria. But after you go, see, this has got a T down here. There isn't anything but water coming out there anyway.
Yeah.
So you want to get it. You can dig a hole right there. You can dig that box up, and just pour it in there and let it seep right in there. You just pour it in there with dry powder in there. So you put about 3 or 4 pounds or maybe 5 pounds in there and just put it inside that pipe or inside that box, see, and let it dissolve and work off just like this fertilizer that you put out, dry fertilizer, that you, it melts and eventually just seeps right on through there. You might have to do it a couple of times, but it'll sure kill them out there. That's the best thing to do for them. You got it made.
You know, a lot of people, especially poor people, they are right systematic about these things, you know. They'll open up the drain every week or two and go out there and take the lid off that thing out there and dip it out every once a month and things like that.
Well, it is so much that it needs to be dipped out. It just needs to be that where it can drain off, and if it can drain the water off of it, the solids maybe have to pump about once, two, three, four. Every 2 or 3 years, but
yeah.
The water gets in there, and that's what causes you trouble, because the water can't get away and let it come into the thing.
What do you call that thing? That's a kitchen.
That's a
drain,
grease trap.
Grease trap, yeah. It's that old grease trap. You have to take that old grease off.
Well, yeah, it gets pretty hard, and a grease trap's a little different than a septic
tank. Yeah.
But it still work a lot longer if you can, if it'll, the drain field is open free of roots.
Yeah.
I'll get some of that stuff and we'll dig up the back end of your drain fields out there and pour some in, because I imagine you're getting pretty well clogged up too.
Well, you know they are.
And you can spray it on old tree roots or anything. It'll just get it going.
Yes, whenever you see Johnny, you tell him we miss him.
Well, I saw John here about 2 or 3 months ago. We were in Oklahoma, saw him. And he's driving a semi-truck for an old boy out there. Well, you know, any big freight liners, you know? And a daggone truck big as his house, look like.
Think of that.
He said he didn't, he's getting kind of tired of it, though. Said it takes two of them to drive it, and said he don't trust the other guy. Told me a little story, said, well, he wasn't telling either my brother-in-law, my brother's a personnel director for Wilson Company. He's a head cheese of this Wilson packing plant, you know, my personnel. He said they had some nigger down there to give him an examination about driving all these big trucks. There's a lot of mountains out in the western part of the country, you know, where they go a lot, you know. And he asked this nigger, said, if you're going down and coming down the side of a mountain, he said, here's two trucks coming to meet you right up here. He said, just to, and you couldn't get around because they're side by side, and he's coming right straight in. I said, what would you and your helper do? He said, your helper probably be back there asleep. Just what would you do? He said, that turn around and shake them curtains and tell him to wake up. Said, we're going to have to turn this red gear in your life. So Johnny said, yes, this is about true. I think that's the reason he didn't trust nobody.
And they don't go at a moderate speed. They're racing all the time.
Yeah, just about.
Uphill and down. Mm-hmm.
They got this new Mack truck that you don't know when you hit these hills, they tell me. That big one said they don't even know they got any hills anymore when that thing said it just crawled right on it. Don't even slow up for them.
Yeah.
See, that's the newest thing on the road.
Yeah. These fellas, you know, a lot of those truckers going on 441 now. I thought they was going to take the interstate.
Well, it depends, I think, a lot of them. They're not driving 441 as much as they are on the interstate. They're riding that interstate right now. I tell you, these police, you can get to first base and they don't give you a ticket. You better not get over speed limit on it.
On interstate?
Oh, they're really riding it now.
What they're trying to do, keep the...
slowing traffic, man.
Keep down the mortality list.
I guess.
Well, let me tell you, all they're doing is pushing it over here on 441.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at 5 o'clock in the morning, long in there?
Plenty of them on there, huh?
Don't you hear them?
I don't hear them that early. That's too early for me.
Well, you wake up during the night, you'll hear them.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Sometimes they're so noisy, they wake me.
Hmm.
And they open the cutouts or whatever it is, they open.
Yeah, there you go. Huh?
Oh, they make more noise than old freight train. Yes, I wish, I think very often how nice it'd be if you stood in with the law and could get a little quiet. Now, let me tell you, Howard, these little old, trainer airplanes come over here around 500 foot of the ground, and you have to quit talking.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't need to fly that low, do they?
I don't think so. I don't pay too much attention to that kind of noise. Kids fighting, I think, might give me more trouble than anything else.
Well?
No, I get a lot of fun out of kids. Howard's in the, lived down there at Sanford a while. He was down there at the, he lived on that track, come into them those airplanes going into that field. He lived right under the path of that thing where they landed. I wouldn't have lived there 15
years.
No,
that's too much. Now, Johnny, the last time I saw him, he was still trying to make an honest living.
Oh, he's doing all right. He makes a... that job pays pretty good, what I understand.
Well, now what I'm talking about is not hiring out.
No, he still... he makes more money working on a truck than he can anything else right now.
Is that right? Is that right? Well, he's mechanical. He could do anything you put his mind to.
Anything that boy wants to do, he can do it.
Why do you ever get interested in horses?
I don't know. I don't think he's fooled a horse since he left here.
Just throw that on the floor.
All right.
I'll put it in the extreme position.
He hadn't fooled a horse since he left here. I don't think.
Did you ever see him handle these horses?
Well,
he could sure handle.
You know, we first moved to Georgia when I bought that farm up there. When they first moved over there, we bought a little cheap tractor up there. The little Cub was wore out when we bought it. Grace bought it for him. They had to overhaul it one day, and Howard took it, tore it down. Johnny was 13 years old. John put the tractor back together. Howard couldn't do it, and John put it back together when he was 13 years old.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, now, let me tell you, when he was out here, when we saw him, you couldn't hire him to touch a piece of machinery.
No, well, he'll do anything he wants to. He's just as good a mechanic as he is.
We'd be out there working on one, sweating and trying to get it back together again. He'd look at it and walk on off.
Yeah, he wouldn't touch it.
He had his mind on horses.
Mm-hmm. And probably could have fixed it easier and without any trouble at all.
Yeah.
I laughed one day. Our well broke down there one day. The switch, I don't know, something went wrong with it. Howard was working for Dress Dressler with Smitty down there then. Just beginning to learn now.
Yeah.
We come in with all three dirty, John, myself, and he. I got old Howard out there to look at that pump, see if he could fix it.
Yeah.
He come in there and he said he had to go get something. He couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. John come in about an hour after that, and he just as dirty as I was. We all need the bath, we all think. John said, "What's the matter?" I said, "That well, something wrong with the well. I thought we could get it to run." He said, "I still got to have a bath." He went out and fixed that well, and we all had a bath, and Howard worked in the electric shop and couldn't do it. But he had the well run about 10 minutes after the gas, and that's true.
How about that?
He had a bath. We all had a bath.
Well, now, what sort of boy is that? He was cranky. He's crotchety.
Yeah.
He was, I don't know what the word for
young. Just stubborn. If he wanted to do something, he'd do it. If he didn't want to do it, he couldn't hire him to do it.
But he wouldn't look at a piece of machinery then.
And he knew what more about it than you did. And I'll bet you a $10 bill he did.
But he'd take these horses out there and keep them half a day.
Mm-hmm.
And work hard with them. Yes, sir. This little white horse out there, that she's really by right Johnny's horse. You see, she wasn't the first training she ever had.
He gave it to her.
Yes, and he took a liking to her, and she's stubborn. And he got her so she'd walk through the water, and he'd rattle stuff in her ear, and he'd take her out at night. I tell him.
He had a thing about that white horse, Snoopy. He really liked it.
Yeah. And he'd back her up, you see.
Anything he wanted to do.
Yes. But see, he didn't get anything out of that.
It's a pleasure doing it.
If he did, it was sort of remote. But, you see.
I don't really think he's looked at a horse since he left here.
Really? Well, that's a shame, because he's a genius.
He got mad because my money mowed the grass, just walked off and left, and one thing. I like dying laughing after it's over with, but we missed him. He just took that dog of his and he left.
That's right.
And that dog died of hoof and mouth disease. You're hearing him? He left it down Orange Lake, no, yeah, when he took off.
Yeah.
I never heard of a dog having hoof and mouth disease.
And he loved that dog.
He sure did. Yeah. He's got another one now, that biggest one we got down there.
Yeah.
It's prettier than this snyder was. Well, let me go to town and see if I can get your toilet and get back out here. We'll put it in there today if we can.
Okay.
If I can get the thing up and get it, I'll go get it. If I don't get it, I don't blame you. I'll come out next week and put one.
Well, I think we can manage this one. It's the one in town that's leaking.
Well, this gal will be there Monday night and I'll put
you in
one.
Yeah, she'll be there.
Are you giving the key and get her in there?
Yeah, well, he said he could sit in there.
I see. Sure.
And,
How's Grace getting along?
Pretty good.
Haven't seen her in a long time.
Well, she's been pretty well. School's been keeping her pretty busy this summer, or this winter.
Yeah.
And she's been working pretty hard.
Uh-huh. And I haven't seen her mother in Lord knows how long.
I want y'all to come down sometime. Yeah. We've been working like the dickens, and I do this and that and the other thing. It just. I really don't have time to do any visiting. But I got to go paint some gutters today if I don't do nothing else. Put some gutters up. I'm going to tear the back of the roof off in a couple of weeks and put that on. I got enough work lined up to keep me busy for 6 months if I didn't do nothing else.
Some gutters on your house?
Yeah. Since we took that front porch off, that water runs down, you get
yeah.
rain or something,
yeah.
goes right on your neck. And I
yeah.
don't like that very well.
Yeah.
I sure is nice.
Well, now you know about gutters.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an easy way to put them up and an hard way. I do it the hard way.
Well, how's the easy way? I don't know that much about it, man.
Howard, I'll tell you the truth. I'm not sure. I put them up the easy way, but they're not as secure, so sturdy as they ought to be. You know, you just get that little wire bracket that goes around them and put one nail in it up there.
Well, what I'm going to put them up with the regular nails that come, you know, nail them up then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that'd be easier.
Yeah.
Hmm? I've got to paint them before I put them up.
I never use those big nails. I don't know. I don't have a thing solid enough to nail on.
Well, I've got a good facer board up here, and I'd better put it up there that way. Where I'm going to put it on that new roof is where I'm going to put a new facer board there to hold it.
All you need is just a little bit of fall, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, say like you got 20 foot to go. They don't both have to go the same direction, do they?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I mean, one can go one way. You can part it at the middle.
All right.
Sure. You know, a lot of little things that save you money.
Mm, I agree with you.
And that way, you see, you can have a bigger pitch to it, and the leaves wouldn't stop it up so bad, would they?
No, that's the problem with gutters, is the leaves.
Well, now the leaves are just like your roots and your grease trap out there.
I saw one fixed the other day with some little hardware cloth put over the top, keep these leaves out of there, you know, it worked pretty good.
Yeah, and still let the water in?
Yeah, sure. And then whatever, see, it just be, let them drop to the front just a little bit and wash on and blow off of there, it wouldn't fill it good up.
Yeah.
So that worked pretty nice.
You know, the worst piece of economy I ever practiced when I painted this house. I don't know what it got into me, but I wouldn't buy an extension ladder.
Extension ladder?
Mm-hmm. I made one.
And it cost you more than you would if you went down and bought it?
It's costing more, and it's so damn heavy, you see.
You can't move it?
I can move it all the way around, except where these light wires come in, you see, but they come in at several places. And what happens is, I won't use it. And eventually, I had to buy a little 12-foot extension, you see, to go up the top of it, because mine wouldn't, it was too tedious. Well, I had this thing up here in this evening. That's how it looks. And I had this ladder. This is a ladder right there. And I made a frame to put it on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I got so economical. And I put that ladder up there, and I could get up there, Howard, and I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd have to stand on the next to the top rung.
To get reaching.
And stand on my toe. And then, you see, I'd be so close to the wall, I couldn't...
He's in pain.
Pain. So I'd have to drive my nail to sort of...
Hold your
balance.
Yeah.
Couldn't leave home when he was doing it
because
you just knew he'd fall off.
That's the most screwball thing I ever did, save money on that extension ladder.
Well, listen to that. But we was talking about ladders and gutters. A fellow preacher that works for us, he broke his and put an extension ladder up on a little piece of gutter. The gutter gave way and broke his leg. And that was the most stupid thing I ever saw. You know how you just knew, it was just about 4 foot long. Well, just went over a pack, a little 4-6 foot porch is what it was, and the gutter just covered the door. That's all it was to it.
Yeah.
Had two nails up there with those things on them, and he sticks his aluminum ladder up there with those plates on it and crawled up there, and he had a machine in one hand, see, and it was heavy. Well, that gave him a balance off balance. So it pulled that gutter down. He fell down that ladder thing, slipped off that gutter and broke his leg. He blamed it on the ladder, but it wasn't the ladder's fault, it was his fault.
Yeah.
Because where it was going, it was exactly, he was coming out over here, and the gutter was right there on the porch, and if he'd have set his ladder where he was going, he'd have never done it. I went on the roof right after he got through, and went the same place he was doing, after he broke his leg, I finished the job. And it wasn't any gutter around on this side of it, it was a flat roof. And
yeah. But he still blamed the ladder.
Going out he'd come out with this little porch, see, this little offset there, and just dug out this little porch over there.
Yeah.
He blamed the ladder. Well, it wasn't the ladder's fault. He put it up on that gutter, just nailed it for two pieces, and it gave way. He couldn't expect anything else. And the funny part about it, he was going over here, and there wasn't a thing over there. He could have put it up there and been 2 foot of where he's going.
You know, I make one blunder after another, but I don't listen. I hear many people that do that.
Well, that guy does, I do.
Oh, if they do, they don't dwell on their blunders.
Well, I think he dwells on them. He has to be truthful.
Yeah.
He's a preacher. And we talked about another thing. I never heard anybody cuss any more in my life. I heard that guy cuss. And it's the stupidity, just like we were talking about this other time. He couldn't find a sewer pipe one day. Now, this is how happened out there at Pie Lamb Fraternity House. Now, this is a cotton-picking troop. He was in a... you know where that fraternity is. It's number one on Fraternity Road. Well, this... in the house mother quarters over there, the sewer stopped up. He couldn't find it, so I helped him find it. It was about that deep in the ground. I helped him. He dug it up. He knocked a little hole in it about that big around. And I said, Lonnie, I says, you simply can't get your rod in there to clear that sewer with that small hole in it. But that time it filled up with water about that much over the pipe. So I started out the truck getting me a piece of pipe and a hammer so I could knock a bigger hole in it. And he got all excited and he hit that gum sewer water and it fell all over. And you had never heard a preacher cuss like that so much in all your life. I don't cuss that bad. Now that ain't no joke. And I said, boy, I'd be shaming myself. That's the truth. He lost every piece of religion he ever had right there. And he still got a church and preaches every Sunday, too. Now, that's no joke.
Was it pretty good profanity?
Pretty good.
Uh-huh.
I never heard anybody use any better.
You mean it?
I mean, honest. I'm telling you the truth.
He's one of where he learned it.
Well, now, some people, you know, do better than others.
Well, he was doing the best I ever heard. Even better than I can do. And I don't claim to be a preacher. I told him one day, I could do everything he could do. I said, don't read, I'm not a preacher. You don't smoke, and I do. I said, that's the only difference between them. That's exactly what I told him.
Some people, it's just painful to hear them cuss.
Well, I've never heard anybody lose their religion any quicker than he did. And
yeah.
Then, Actually, one here about months so after that, he said, y'all come out to his church and listen to him. I said, I listen to you on a good job. I don't need to go to your church. That's exactly what I told him.
Well,
yeah, he don't preach the religion around me, don't he?
You haven't been to church.
Well, not that kind of church I ain't going.
To his church?
No, I haven't been to that church.
Well, now, you know, he might talk in there with that same gift he had out there with you.
I could stand there.
You just don't appreciate good
profanity. Yeah, well, I guess that's the truth.
Your taste has been going down.
It don't taste in that direction, I'll tell you.
You know, Mark Twain, they used to say that Mark Twain, when he got started, his profanity was poetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. And they'd stand around with their mouth open and just listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I have never heard anyone really, I don't seem to get exposed to that side of the world at the right time. I always come along after it's over. And I don't believe you can just open up on that just to show people how you do it, can you? You got to have some...
the sewer pipe still out on that.
I don't ever lose my temper. That this temper, you lose your temper, really. You think you can... You can't, if you haven't got any self-control, you could probably say about things.
Do you know, did you ever read this little book of Ms. Rawlins, Cross Creek?
Yeah.
She got a chapter in there she calls the census.
Mm-hmm.
And she went with Zelma. Zelma is that little girl. She was taking the census. And she went with her.
Mm-hmm.
And Zelma knew the whole countryside. And she was that doctor's sister. To that doctor, he was a pretty well-known doctor then. Anyhow, Zelma knew everybody, knew the countryside, and the one thing that she was known for was profanity.
Mm-hmm.
And Ms. Rawlins spoke highly of her gift in that book.
Mm.
And she's the one that sued her, you know. She's the one that took her to court. But that was 10 years later.
Yeah.
Can you imagine waiting 10 years to take a fellow to court? When she, all Ms. Rawlins did was it was a tribute to her profanity.
That's right.
That's right. I get a copy.
I remember reading something about that.
Zelma was her name. Zelma Keeson. And her brother was one of the big shots over there at one of those hospitals in Jacksonville. He was a surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And Zelma was her buddy there.
I never did get really why she took her to court over that. That was just ridiculous.
Yes, it was. Well, you see, something soured. You know how it is.
Yeah.
You don't have. It's not all poetry. Sunday school.
Preacher finally first took this job over with us, you know, we got to know where all the streets in Gainesville are. You got to know pretty well where you're going, and he's got the same type of job I have, and we had these radios in the cars when he first started about the first month or so he was on that thing. They'd give him a call on that radio, and he said, now, this, where is that? See, and I got so sick and tired of listening to this man supposed to know that. They lived there a lot longer than I have.
Yeah.
I thought anybody could learn evil. That's not too hard.
Yeah.
So one morning I told him a little story I heard about that, and I sure shut him up on that deal, too. I said, I told him a story about a preacher I heard just moved to this little town, you know, pretty good sized town. It had about 10 or 12 business blocks in it. He wrote a letter. He wanted to know where he saw a couple of teenagers down on the street. Baptist preacher. Now, if I made Baptist, be sure I hit him on the head. So he was walking down to mail this letter. He didn't know where the post office was. So he stopped a couple of teenagers down there, and he asked them. He said, asked them where the post office was. They said, well, it's up a couple blocks, and half block here, right there. And you can find it. Then he introduced himself. He was this new Baptist preacher down there. And he wanted to know what the boy's name was. They called him Johnny Bill. And they, well, they said, now, since you were so kind of telling me where the post office was, I said, you, if you go come down to church, I'll tell you how to get to heaven. Johnny looked at him and said, you know, said, I doubt that anybody don't know where the post office is. And you know, he quit asking for the street now. Well, now, that's the whole, that's the truth. Yeah, that's where he said, anybody don't know where the post office is, he doubted if he could somehow get to it. But he shut up, I'd shut you up all that asking every time he turned around for something was.
Yeah. Howard, enjoyed the visit. Appreciate
yes,
you sitting
yeah,
down.
Yeah, I got to go. Well,
yes, sir. I tell you what.
I'm trying to get back to
you. You look at this thing. Yeah,
well, this time one right around 780, 790, 800, and Howard Sims. First time he's ever sat down in the kitchen and talked. Oh, he hadn't been here in so long. This Saturday, the 19th of June, 1971, Channel 1 right around 780, 790 now. And the end of the visit with Howard, except he's coming back after a while to put in something in the bathroom, commode. This Saturday, the 19th of June, 1971, Channel 1, right around 800. Howard Sims, his first visit in the kitchen, but he'll be back directly.